Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, they have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them, you can DM me at Achtung Millwall, and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a happy show, Millwall 4. Bristol City won in the late language part of the season. Joining me to discuss what was a pretty good performance overall today is a welcome return for Charlie Mahoney. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Right, Nick. How are you?
I'm feeling good, mate. That was an enjoyable game. It's not often we've been able to say that over the course of this season, is it, Charlie?
I think it's quite a nice change to be on here and not have a completely lacklustre game to talk about, because even when we've not lost, it's been pretty dire, if I remember, the last couple of appearances that I've made.
Yeah, I mean, it's been consistently there are many reasons. Listeners will know the injury crisis and all that comes with that. So it's been a fairly dreary season, in all honesty. No fans, injuries, blah, blah, blah. So it's quite nice to be able to talk in the aftermath of what was actually quite an attractive game. It was a bit end of season, Charlie, wasn't it? Let's get that out early on. It was both sides were on a little bit on the beach in defence, certainly.
Definitely. It was very reminiscent of our last home game last season against Huddersfield, I thought, yeah. Even in terms of the scoreline. I think what really defined the game, without taking anything away from us, was first and foremost how poor Bristol City were, really.
Oh, absolutely.
And have been for a while in the league.
I'm hoping to get a recording later from a Bristol City podcaster. So we'll see. I'm waiting on that, listener, so I don't know what he's going to say. But I'll stick that in at the end of the conversation between Charlie and myself, so we'll get their take on where they're at. I thought they were very poor. I go around in circles on this, Charlie, because I never know whether you should praise Millwall for playing well or do you damn the opposition for being so poor. I think you can only beat who's in front of you, mate, can't you?
Yeah, but how many times have we seen occasions where the team has been there for the taking, rather, and we haven't done that. So yeah. I think it's important to kind of acknowledge when we have done our job on a day like this, because it doesn't happen very often. And yeah, you can look at the opposition and sort of like go into the technicalities of what they did. But yeah, I think it's fair to praise us.
Well, going forwards for a change, and it's really nice to be able to say this, listeners. I thought we looked pretty sharp. We broke well. I mean, the opening goal was a really nice finish by Jed Wallace. And I'm just, that actually came from a corner, I think, at the Bristol had a corner at the Millwall.
It was a free kick outside the area. Yeah, I think right. It was a Landry free kick. We just sort of hit him on the break, didn't we?
Really nice finish from Jed. And it was a great pass from Malone to Jed to find him on the right side. Those have got to be put in the net. It's one of those chances, Charlie, where you think, well, you know, you see him get missed, don't you? But he really slammed that in today. Good start.
I was a little bit concerned with it in the sense, though, that if he just squares the ball to Bradshaw, he's got a simple tap in. And it made me worried that, as Wallace even got a sort of lack of faith in Bradshaw at the moment for him taking that chance on from, like you say, like not a particularly easy angle, but also one that a confident player is probably going to put away quite nicely.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I thought Bradshaw actually played well today, and yeah. You know, I had him mentioned in dispatches rather than man of the match today, but I thought he did really well. I like his. I tell you what I like with Tom Bradshaw, Charlie. He's industrious and he don't stop trying. And I think at Millwall, we love a player that doesn't give it up. He's not the best finisher in the division, but you know, he will keep running and running and running. And there's something to be said for that in a team like ours.
Yeah, and I don't think it's entirely without any sort of technical ability. I think it's important to remember that, actually, ironically, probably his best form in a Millwall shirt was those three games just before Rowett took over and Adam Barrett was caretaker manager. I mean, he never seems to have quite replicated that.
No.
But what it has shown me is that there is a striker there somewhere, and it's just a matter of him regaining some form of confidence. I just wish that this goal that he did get, that we'll probably go on to later, had come a few weeks ago with a bit more football to play this season.
Well, it's nice to see him getting a run off on. We've lacked a decent striker all season. I make you right, actually, and I'd be interested to know what the listeners think about Tom Bradshaw, because I think there is a striker. There's certainly a willingness to put the effort in, which is always going to go a long way at the Den. And I think that give him a run of starts, which he's not really had in truth since he's joined the club, Charlie, really. I mean, he's never really had any great length of, you know, he's never been a first choice starter. So, you know, it's just interesting. I mean, I can certainly see him featuring next season. It's going to be a conversation for later in the show as to who stays and who goes. But I wouldn't be unhappy to see Tom Bradshaw still in the mix next season. I think he showed enough today for me. It was good to see.
There were stages in the game as well where I'm watching it and seeing how sort of poorly Bristol City were playing, just thinking, this is all very well, we're winning the game, but if we just had that focal point up front, we'd absolutely demolish these. And I think him getting into the game more kind of demonstrated that, really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's not to argue what I just said. Any doubters out there, I don't think we need to up our game on the striking front. We do need a striker. And, you know, but it's nice to have Tom Bradshaw as an option. And he showed enough for me today. The equaliser really frustrated me, Charlie, because I thought, here we go. We've gone 1-0 up. We had a good chance. I think Danny Mack shot across goal just a few moments after the opener. And then we go and... pretty sloppy defending, in truth. I thought, I mean, it was a decent ball to Carver's apart, as they put it on the TV, but I thought it was actually sloppy defending. George Evans seemed to go to sleep for that move for the equaliser.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got to say that Lansbury's pass was a sharp one, but yeah, if it wasn't for Evans being out of position and the sort of defensive shape just being all over the place, that goal doesn't get conceded, really. And I was really disappointed with it as well, because I've said it on here before, I think defensive solidity has to be, you know, the paragon sort of our game, if you know what I mean.
It's a starting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a message from Doug in Sweden. Shout out to Doug when that goal went in. And it was words to the effect of, you can see why Rowett rates Evans as a midfielder rather than a defender. And it seems a bit churlish to complain when you've just beat a team 4-1. But I thought there was a few moments through the game where we looked a little bit switched off in defence. And I know that was a makeshift back line. I mean, even Romeo playing as a centre is, you know, it's not where his normal position would be. But, I think it would be nice to see our full strength defensive back line back. Possibly strengthened. I was surprised not to see Hayden Muller starting today, Charlie. I thought this might be an ideal chance for him to get some...
That definitely disappointed me, especially as you say, with a player out of position in the centre half. Well, it again raises that question for me: is, you know, how good are these kids if they're not getting into the team, particularly at this stage of the season?
Makes you wonder. I mean, when he did feature, we'd leaping about the game a little bit, but when he did feature, and also I thought the previous game when Hayden did come into the game, he's only had late spurts in both games. I thought he looked quite at home in a Championship backline defence against Championship players. So I don't know why he wouldn't have started. I would have thought this would have been the ideal chance. The result was you know, immaterial one way or the other. Nice to win it 4-1, of course, but I would have thought that would have been a great chance to get some minutes out there for Hayden Muller. I mean, obviously, it was great to get in front, and that was another nice finish by Scott Malone on 30 minutes. Nice kind of well-drilled shot from the left side back across the going off the post. I really like Scott Malone. I'm really hoping that all these stories we see in the Mill websites and on the news sites, Charlie, are true, that he's, that we're in for him and that we're going to get him, because I think he's been a real, real bonus for the season.
He's been absolutely superb this season. He scored some quality goals, and I was fairly pleased with his return in a way. But he's delivered on that promise as well, because obviously we were aware of him in the first place from his first stint at the club. And he seems to have just really matured into this attacking force since that time.
He's intelligent, and I really like an intelligent player that's got pace and he moves, you know, he's everything you want to see coming on along that left side. And that was a really nicely taken goal. 2-1 at half time, and, you know, as I've noted to myself, end of season vibe, and it was a little bit. But, you know, these we've still got to go ahead and actually take the points. And it was wonderful, wonderful for me to see Billy Mitchell get his opening goal. And what a celebration, those press-ups. I don't know what that was all about, but wonderful to see it nevertheless, Charlie.
He's really growing on me, Billy Mitchell. I mean, when he first came in, I thought he'd done pretty well, but he just seemed to see something more mature emerging in this game now, because a lot of centre midfielders, when they come through at the age of sort of 17, 18, there's a bit of a sense that they're kind of like an headless chicken and they want to do everything. I still feel Thompson's a bit like that now, even though I do rate him at times. And it's good to see him learning as he's playing and sort of listening to what Rowett's asking him to do, because I think Rowett's a very particular manager about what he wants his midfielders to do in games. And the more kind of obedient, shall I say, that these young players come to his philosophy, the more they're going to feature and develop, aren't they?
The comparison with Ben Thompson, who actually came into the game off the bench late today, is a good one, Charlie, because both Billy and Ben, and in the past, the likes of John Marquis, have all carried this burden of being a Millwall fan and playing for the Lions. And it's a kind of a doubly heavy load, I think, because, you know, someone like Ryan Woods can be Ryan Woods and he'll get whatever he gets in terms of comment or not. But when you're a Millwall fan, suddenly you're expected to shed that extra pint of blood, whereas another player would get away with less. You know, it can't be easy. And I thought, you know, I was so pleased to see Billy get that goal, because it's not an easy gig being a Millwall fan on the Millwall side.
It's not an easy gig at all. And it, as you say, it does work against a player, but it can also sort of delude some fans into how good they actually are at times. So I'm always pleased when they kind of live up to some of the acclaim and make it justified.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what becomes of Ben over the summertime. 4-1 on 57 minutes. It was great to see Tom Bradshaw get that piano off his back, finally, and get a goal, Charlie. Nicely taken as well.
It was nicely taken. I mean, I think he's still got a bit of work to do in terms of, like, consistently playing well and scoring. And I would also say he's not going to get many gifts like he did.
Oh, that was sloppy defence, I mean.
But he still had to put the chance away. And he did. Sometimes those are the chances that strikers on a bit of a barren run, you know, make an appalling miss in as well. So you've got to give him full credit for actually taking it well.
What I really liked about today as well, Charlie, I mean, I just noted just after the goal, there was a really nice move. Mason Bennett feeding Wallace, and then Malone scooped it over the bar. But there was a number of good moves. I'm thinking of Danny Mac a few times, some really nice passing from midfield and then crossfield balls finding players in space that, as you rightly say, that on another day you wouldn't get against the better quality side, you wouldn't get. But there we are. We keep saying it. You can only beat who's come out in front of you. There's some really nice moves at times. So the 4-1 is reflective of the game, but I thought we actually could have got more out of today.
Yeah, I mean, there was a considerable amount of time left after the fourth goal, wasn't there? But I just think maybe in a game with a little bit more at stake and earlier in the season, we might have kind of kept that intensity up. But as you say, there was a bit of a end of season feel about the proceedings.
Yeah, the substitutions are always a bit like it's a bit like having your Horlicks before you go to bed. And as soon as you have that, you're off the rock and roll ride and on to, getting your head down, go to sleep. And, you know, the introduction of Sean Williams, I like Sean Williams, but it just takes some of the energy out of the game. And there's a kind of a settling for what we had. There's still one or two chances, a couple of late chances for Marlon and Mason in the last few seconds of the game. And the introduction of John Daddy, which, is always a moment in every game where you know that...
Yeah, but that's good.
The goal scoring's over, yeah. Isn't it? You know? but yeah, I mean, I who would you take as your man of the match today, Charlie? I'm interested. I know who I backed.
I'm always keen to sort of say Wallace in these kind of games because I think he is the... He's the catalyst, isn't he, I think, for almost everything. But then I wouldn't kind of... I wouldn't begrudge people choosing maybe Mitchell or McNamara either. But I thought there was a number of good performances and as an attacking unit, we looked strong. But yeah, I'm going to go with Wallace myself.
That's a good call. I mean, and I make you right, Jed Wallace is that next level. We don't have many players. I mean, Scott Malone is at that next level. But, you know, we have a very good workman-like side lacking touches of class, and that's what Jed Wallace brings into the team. So I wouldn't argue with that choice. I mean, I went for Danny Mac just purely on a sentimental, thing of wanting to see a young player do well because I thought he actually looked really attack minded today, and that was interesting.
Great. It was like watching Cafu at times. I thought
great. That's the kind of hyperbole we get on this show. I like that.
Catford Cafu. We could play, I suppose.
Cafu, I like that one. I want to mention Tom Bradshaw and Scott Malone. I mean, you could pick out a few, in all honesty. But no, I think Jed's a good call, Danny Mac for me. But overall, 4-1 win. I mean, that leaves us with an assured top half of the table finish, which is not one of these things, Charlie, that ever really moves a fan particularly. I mean, whether you finish in the top 12 or the bottom 12 is, you know, a passing interest. But it's still a pretty good performance for a team of our standing and resources and with some of the problems we've got through this season, injury-wise.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries have definitely been a factor. Obviously, the absence of a crowd, which is unequivocally an advantage for us, has played a part. And as you say, like, our resources and our budget do have to be taken into account as well. What I like most about finishing the top half is that it's just a really good indication that we are more than cut out for this level of football. You know, we're not fools, we're not looking over our shoulders, and it's nice to be able to look in terms of how we progress rather than worrying about next year as such.
Absolutely. Big summertime ahead, obviously. We wait to see with anticipation what changes are going to come. I've got a couple of comments from the internet. Wasn't very many to pick from, listeners. I think it is the end of the season now. I think people are mentally switching off to it. But I've got one here from Alex Lee. Mentioned how we have a flexible squad. Danny Mac having a great game. Mill are progressing, he says, and building a forward line or with forward changes could turn us into a top side. I think the thrust of that being just a few changes will put us up there. And then one from JP here, Charlie, guaranteed top half finish. No fans describing the season. We've been plagued by injuries. Gary Rowett is a serious manager. A few big additions and next year we'll go close. I mean, you do get a sense that the goal scoring has been the thing. I mean, the actual fundamentals of the side is a very solid, you know, mid-table side with the ability, hopefully, the right ingredients to press onwards and upwards. And I think that's the same point you've just been making there, Charlie.
It's, I mean, I really do think the goal scoring is the issue. I might have got this stat completely wrong, but I think someone mentioned the other day on Twitter that 110 collective or 130 collective appearances between the strikers, there's been like 10 goals scored. Yeah. I know it's not just purely the strikers' responsibility, but that has got to improve if we're going to do anything meaningful, really. The flip side of that, I'm sure that stat can't be correct, but it's something quite alarming.
It sounds correct, even if it's not correct. It feels correct, and that tells a story, doesn't it?
But yeah, well, I think it is kind of crucial that we get that striker in. But then that is what everyone wants to do. There's probably not many teams in the country at any level who don't feel that just with that regular goal-scoring striker, they wouldn't be massively improved.
No, I agree. It's going to be an interesting few months ahead.
Keeping Wallace long term is probably the priority as well.
Well, this is it. I'm very much back of an envelope here. I've described today as almost like a trials match in some ways for players that we want to keep and players that we want to. I mean, obviously, we'd want to keep Jed Wallace if at all costs, pretty much in Millwall terms, anyway. I mean, players to go. I'm thinking that Alex Pearce and Sean Williams must be at the end of the end of the bus line now. The terminus is here.
He's got a bus pass now, hasn't he?
So I'm thinking both of those two will be off the playing wage bill come whenever the contract's finished. I think it's June the 30th. John Daddy, I mean, at some point, we're going to have to come to a decision with him because I think he's got another year of contract on his books, Charlie. But I just don't see him. Contrasting with Bradshaw and his industry, and you know, right, he's not getting the goals, we'll take that, but he brings other things, the assisting of other players. But I don't really see much with John Daddy. I don't know what to make of him in many ways. Icelandic international, and yeah, you just don't see it, do you, with him? He's one for the exit for me. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been quite lenient with him, and I've been patient, and that patience hasn't really been rewarded. Might have mentioned it on a previous appearance, but I was looking at his stats, and I don't know if he's ever scored more than 7 goals in a season.
No, it's quite shocking.
It makes you wonder where he even left Iceland with that return of goals, really, in a country with a very small population.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose people fall in love with the romantic Iceland team that went to they beat up England, didn't they, in the quarterfinals of the World Cup or the European Championship. I can't remember.
Euros.
I think people think if he's been part of that, he must be good. But blimey, it's it's painful. Ryan Woods is on loan to us. He started today. I was watching him today, Charlie, and he don't win much ball in the midfield. He's beaten to a couple of headers. He don't win many tackles. And I didn't really see much in terms of his passing ability today. I think, you know, others have mentioned he doesn't look good in a two in midfield. But I don't think he's much use to us if he don't look very good in the two, because we want players that do look good in that kind of setup. So we're probably going to be playing it if we want to score goals next season.
Absolutely.
I think it's time to out Ryan Woods. What do you say?
I agree, because I think, you know, it's fundamental that we build our approach around what we want to do, not around individual players, really. Yeah. I mean, I know that sometimes you do have to do that with your Wallaces, etc., but I really don't like the way that we seem to sort of build the midfield around Woods without ever actually performing that fantastically well. There were glimpses of quality, especially last season, but what's become evident to me is that I think it's the absence of Malumbi that has kind of shown him up a bit.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, we haven't seen enough from him this season, in my opinion, and I've obviously don't know the mind of Gary Rowett, but no, it was just today. I was looking at. I mean, it's given that it was an easy going game, Charlie. I mean, this wasn't full throttle today by any means. A Bayford team, and he lost a couple of headers. He didn't win a tackle or two in midfield. Gave the ball away, and not enough for me. I would prefer to see a less talented but more industrious. I prefer to see a Ben Thompson than Ryan Woods any day of the week. For that reason, because at least he'll give you a minimal effort, and the good side of Ryan Woods doesn't appear often enough, in my opinion. So I think he's one for the I nearly said the Uber taxi, but that's probably going to antagonise all our black cab listeners. So better get him a black cab, running back to Houston.
You might want to edit that out.
One other player I just wanted to. I mean, we've mentioned Matt Smith many, many times, and we'll see what Matt becomes of Matt Smith. I like him, but we'll see. He probably don't fit in with the pattern. But one other player I wanted to run past you, because I don't know. I want to like him. I want to love Conor Mahoney. And yet somehow he never produces much to justify. I feel like I'm in a relationship with someone who, you know, where you're kind of constantly chasing them and you don't get much back with from them. And Conor, I think, is one of those... one of those people in this life. Would you, I don't know what his contractual situation is, dear listeners, so I don't take this show as any kind of accurate measure of the Millwall contract situation. But I don't know about Conor Mahoney. What do you take of him, make of him, Charlie?
I was pleased when we signed him because of what he'd done at Birmingham, and there was a bit of promise surrounding him when he was at clubs like Blackburn, I think. And we've, again, a player we've seen glimpses of quality from, especially when we tend to play Luton at home.
there's a guaranteed performance each season.
Yeah, which is something of a luxury, I feel, for a player's like, status in a squad. But there's definitely kind of a bit of ability there, but it's just about harnessing it and getting it out on a regular basis. But the longer he's at the club, the less I kind of feel confident about him fulfilling that kind of potential that he's got. So it's difficult, isn't it, really? I'm pretty sure he's got another year left. So
he probably has. Yeah. Oh, he came in today for Jed late in the game when Jed had run out of petrol, basically. But there's no replacement. I mean, he's got the talent. This is what frustrates me with Conor Mahoney. He's got the talent. He just doesn't have he doesn't have the drive in the engine there, and I don't know what to make of him. I really want him to do well, and I'd love him to come good next season, and then we'll be laughing about the fact we had these conversations at some point. But at the moment, it's hard to see it. So I mean, that's my little back of an envelope list of possible spaces on the payroll, and then we'll see what Mahoney's probably going to be with us, but. We're going to be interested to see who we sign over the summertime, Charlie.
It is crucial. It's absolutely crucial. I think Warwick came out yesterday and said that they are definitely looking at getting a striker in on a permanent basis. But I think, obviously, more than any other position on the pitch, what dictates the quality of that is the amount we're going to spend.
Yeah. Listeners, don't get me wrong. And I don't know how you feel, Charlie, but I mean... The fact that the club has rolled over the season tickets, which is a magnificent gesture, I think you can't mention this enough. I was actually taken aback when I renewed my season ticket. I thought that it was just pay for it like you do normally, And the fact that last season's credit was rolled forwards took my breath away. We're not rolling around in cash, Charlie. I mean, you have to have some perspective in these things. We'll see what we get.
I also think some people have got to realise that even a fee, an individual fee of about £3 or 4 million for a striker now really doesn't get you very much.
No, it doesn't. No.
If it does, you've had a bit of a result.
Yeah, this is football. Obviously, we've just come through the recent, tumult in the game generally, talking about money and lack of. But that's just the way it is. We're not going to change that. I think it's a season that is closing with a lot to be pleased with and a lot to be thankful for. And yes, there's areas of improvement that could be looked at. But any Millwall fan of any length of time will always know that's just the way it is. There's always, show me a Millwall team that could never be improved. And,
Exactly. And I don't think it's unfair to say that there's room for improvement because I get the sense that Rowett will feel that he has unfinished business as well.
I think so. And I think if he's honest with himself, Gary Rowett will know there's areas of improvement in terms of his decisions, the substitutions at times he's made. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much of a self-reflective person he is, but, everyone can always do better in this world. And I think that includes the manager and the assistant manager as well. So let's wait and see.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Strange thing to date. I just wanted to touch on this. And this is this social media blackout that, the sports BBC, I think, is engaged in it, the Premier League and the EFL, in the face of racism and homophobia and online kind of abuse and all the rest of it. And there's been a social media blackout over the weekend. And we were talking off air just before we started recording this, as Charlie and I, and I go around in circles on this initiative, Charlie, because I'm sympathetic to its aims. I mean, anyone that looks on social media sees what you see on there, and you don't have to go far to find it, mate, do you? And I'm sympathetic to anyone that suffers, you know, racist or sexist or whatever you like, any kind of abuse of that kind. I'm also pretty sceptical of these grand gestures by some pretty wealthy corporations that actually thrive on the buzz of social media and Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of them are global, international, not quite beyond the law, but as close as you're going to get in the modern world to being beyond the law, because they're internationally based organisations. That's where the solution lies to some of these issues. I mean, how did you see this blackout today? Did you support it? How did you feel about it, Charlie?
I would never criticise any initiative that intends to challenge racial abuse. I think the problem for me, as you've sort of alluded to, is the efficacy of what they're doing. It's, is like you say, is it actually going to make a difference? And then you get this sense that, corporations like Twitter can then pat themselves on the back and say, we did all we could, when actually I've got no doubt that there are people sending vile things to each other on there right at this point in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, it can be an eye-opener. I think many, many people, and I don't include myself in a way. I mean, you see what you might call, in the loosest sense of the word, banter, and that's a very loose word that stretches a very, very long way and can cross any number of lines at times. But there's banter, for want of a better way to put it. And then there's some really threatening, vile, quite literally criminal threats. My view, and I'm interested to know what you think, is that the essence of the problem of social media is that it's anonymous. It allows anonymity. You can go on there as anything you like, pretty much. You're just an email address and a name, sometimes just a computer-generated name and number on there. And you're therefore beyond the reach of the law, because there are laws that, there's no such thing as free speech. People bang on about free speech all the time. There's always been restrictions on it in English law.
Free speech has never meant that there aren't ramifications for what you say.
Precisely. And that's the thing. It's the lack of consequence, Charlie. If you and me decided to publish a book which was libelous, and you'd pay a price for that, because it's in black and white. But somehow the speed of the internet has overtaken the law, isn't it, in that way?
And I think you're onto something as well when you sort of suggest that these websites and these platforms, they almost thrive on the toxicity. I don't buy that they're against it, as they say themselves. I mean, I'm sure they don't advocate like racial abuse or misogyny or sexism, but I think they've been complicit in a way as well.
Well, they allow it to happen, and there must be easy ways to control it. I mean, you can keywords, and I mean, a million and one ways to avoid using certain words, code words, and all that kind of thing. But the fact, it's never ceased to amaze me, and I'd be interested to know what listeners think. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of, I'm against free speech. Far from it. But there's posing an alternative political view to the one that you might put forward, Charlie. And then there's actually sending threatening messages and insulting images and all sorts of stuff that you would turn your hair, make your hair curl. That's a different thing. That's one is free speech. One is putting forward a viewpoint. The other isn't. And that's where the anonymity argument on free speech falls apart for me. But
it's just such a more fundamental issue than purely social media as well. I mean, you've got to get to the root of these problems and address the ignorance at the heart of it, rather than just look at what is the medium in which it's being put across on.
Well put. We've strayed far from the path of Millwall Football Club today, but it was just an interesting event today. I wonder what impact it will have. In the end, government and international governments will be the answer to this, because they control the law, and ultimately that means they control the money that goes to the company. So we shall see. Big thank you to Charlie. It's been an enjoyable show to do, mate. Makes a nice change, doesn't it? A nice change to have a happy show.
Always happy to be on here, but it's always a lot nicer when you're talking about
positive. Lovely stuff. Have a good summertime, Charlie. I'm looking forward to speaking to you next season, hopefully with a goal scorer and get a few wins under our belt early doors in August. Till then, big thank you to Charlie for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Cheers, mate.
And we're going to close out now with a couple of messages from Michael, and I'm hoping from a Bristol podcaster, one streaming Bristol, Stanley, to give us his take on today's proceedings. Until next week for the last show of the season, dear listeners, it's Arriva Dirty Millwall. Thank you for listening.
Hello. Full time, dear listeners, and to coincide with the return of Alan Partridge on a Friday night, all you can say is Jurassic Park. Back of the net. That was absolutely great, wasn't it? Really? 4-1. Good stats when it comes to attacking as well. I think I saw at one point it was like we had 17 shots and they had 2. And it was just a really, you know, we played really well, I thought. It wasn't like that. I think it was the Huddersfield game last year that they referred to where we won 4-1. And Huddersfield were tripe. I mean, Bristol City weren't great, but we were actually very good. I thought we played some nice passages of play, some nice one-touch football. And they were good goals as well. I mean, Jed Wallace, he struck that superbly for the first. Great, great goal. Then you've got, you know, a wonderful, wonderful finish by Scott Malone off the post. And then Billy Mitchell's. Wow, well done, Bill. Congratulations. I know your dad sometimes contributes to this show, so I know you are a listener. Note he may not be. But no, good finish by Billy Mitchell. And again, Bradshaw with a really cool finish considering, you know, the sort of pressure he's been under on social media and probably from Gary Rowett this season. Another good finish. But it's, it was well done. A bit of a calamitous error for the goal we conceded. But again, if you think about it, it shows character to concede a goal like that and then come back and put on such a sort of dogged, determined performance for the rest of the game. I thought everyone had a good game. Can't really think of anyone who necessarily had a stinker or deserved to be pulled off. McNamara had a great game. Bradshaw looked quite lively. And Cooper was good with the armband. Marlon Romeo again. Scott Malone. Now, that's a question mark. Scott Malone. I know that it seems in some newspapers that talks are ongoing about signing him permanently. But, wow, I think he's had a fantastic season for Millwall. Certainly better than all the ones that he had prior to him leaving a few years back. And, again, if we can keep this little nucleus together, put in one or two additions, get rid of some players who may not fit the system. Who knows where the future lies? But it's a good way to finish our home campaign. One more game to go. And yeah, come on your lines. Until next season. Smell my trees, as Partridge would say.
Hello. Hey, everyone. Stanley here from One Stream in Bristol. Bristol City's number one fan-produced podcast, the original and most shite. Nick has very kindly asked me to come on, presumably so you can all laugh at me, because let's be honest, that was a load of rubbish, today's game. First of all, on Millwall, I got to say I was quite surprised. In the FA Cup game, you guys were atrocious. But today, you played some really good football, I thought. You played it forward quick. First pass was always forward, eyes at the pitch. You were attacking with pace. You were counter-attacking us. I know, you know, we did defend abjectly, pretty woefully, and gave you a couple of goals that, let's be honest, shouldn't have been scored. Or shouldn't have been allowed to have been scored, rather. But yeah, you guys actually played quite good football. And, you know, it made me reassess my mental picture of what a Millwall team was. I always sort of, you know, thought you were a team of the sort of Tony Pulis Neil Warnock ilk, you know, ignore the midfield and bypass it. But actually, your two midfielders were pretty good. Your right back is decent, mind. I mean, we've got two right backs and they're both absolute shite. I'd be looking at your right back, to be honest, with the way he played. I don't know how long you've had him. I barely even know his surname, to be honest, but I thought he was excellent. In regards to Bristol City, we are crap. Again, I'm going to use that word. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, but if not, crap. Just hit control A on almost all our players, really, and hit delete, because I don't know one, really, apart from the goalkeeper, who didn't even play today, mind you, that would come out of this season with any credit. Nigel Pearson has got a hell of a job to do over the summer, to be honest, and he hasn't got a CEO to help him because he's just fucked off to Ipswich, who are in League One, which goes to show how tits up the club is at the moment. Anyway, I've probably rambled on far too much. I hope I'm allowed to swear, because if I'm not, you're going to have to get the bleep machine out. But thank you for having me on, Nick. Hopefully we can have like a tussle and a fight and you can gloat in person when the stadiums reopen.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Over to Aston Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.